And young adults and adults went to Haiti for a week. And like I said at the beginning of the service, God did some awesome stuff through us. God did some awesome stuff in us. And he even did some incredible stuff in spite of us. So I really want to tell you the story. We want to tell you the story of what happened during our week in Haiti. Because maybe most exciting for me, the effects of what happened in Haiti are still going strong in this team. And that gets me pumped up. And I hope you'll see that as they share a little bit. But God is good. And God is big. And God is awesome. And so I want to share a little bit of how we saw that during our week in Haiti. And here's how I want to do it. First, by showing a bunch of pictures. You know, I kind of want to paint for you the story of what happened during our week in Haiti. You know, for me, it was an entire week of being out of my comfort zone and not being in control and not knowing exactly what was going to happen and letting God control things and trusting God. So that was kind of the theme of the week. And I want to paint the picture of what we did throughout the week. But then in between painting that picture, in between showing you some pictures, I want these guys to share the most important stuff, which is I asked them to talk to these two questions. Which first, what was the most powerful experience in Haiti? So what was the most powerful and influential thing you saw happen or that you experienced in Haiti? And then second, how did your life change? You know, as we've come back home, what life change did you bring with you here? And as they share, you'll see that for some of them, the answers to those two questions are the same. You know, I saw this, and as a result, this is how I changed. For some of them, it's two different things, or they're connected somehow. So kind of all over the map with that. But man, I can't emphasize enough that God moved in a powerful way. So just to kind of get started, our journey started at 2 o'clock in the morning Saturday that we were going to leave. We met at Trinity at 2 a.m., and we drove to New York to fly out of JFK, and then we flew into Port-au-Prince in Haiti, and sometime early afternoon we got there. And man, we were exhausted, just a long day of travel. And we're also not sure what was next. This is kind of the site that we saw right as we left the airport. So we got our luggage, and we didn't know exactly who was meeting us or where they were meeting us or what they looked like or if they knew what we looked like. And so we kind of walked outside, out front of the airport, and we found ourselves in this little, like, enclosure with about 100 Haitians just staring at us. Now, I didn't know where to go. I didn't see any exit. And then finally, Crystal, who's here this morning with her husband, Ron, she was our leader. She's the founder of the organization we went with, Hearts United with Haiti. And what's really cool, I'll show a less than flattering picture of you in a minute, but what's really cool is she was also a teacher at Garden Spot, and I think I've mentioned this already, but so she had some of our team members in class, and that was such a cool point of connection. And even better was when we saw her, when we heard her yell as these Haitians were staring at us. Oh, man, finally, somebody I know, and let's go there. And so we got connected with her. We got our luggage loaded on the bus, and there's the picture of our awesome. She has an awesome heart, and I think her heart for missions and Haiti really resonates with where we're at, too. And so as we drove from the airport toward our base in Kafu, we saw some pretty amazing sights. This is an open-air market. Which they just have food and produce and other items just kind of sitting on the ground for sale. And if you see behind them, there's some shacks or some tarps. Those are people's houses where they live. And we saw a couple of these markets. And also, there's a couple water canals with just trash and debris strewn all over them. And again, this was kind of another reminder for me, we're not in America anymore. Trash laying around is kind of a cultural thing of, you know, when you're done with something, you just kind of throw it on the ground. That's culturally normal. And we also saw a lot of these. They're called Tap Taps, and basically it's a pickup truck made into public transportation. And Ryland was really looking forward to riding in one. We didn't get the chance to. But, you know, basically 15 or 20 Haitians would pile into the back of this pickup truck and go where they needed to go. And they were kind of all over the place. And what we found also very quickly is traffic rules don't exist, really. There's a ton of honking, and cars getting to their destination, that trumps pedestrians. So one of the first things Crystal said to us was, all right, we're going to go to the bus and make sure you stay on this side, because if a car comes, it won't stop for you. It'll just go. We're not in America anymore. But no one got angry either. That was kind of the crazy thing. There was no traffic rules. There was no stop signs or traffic lights. And people honked, but that was kind of the end of it. And they were still happy, and no one had road rage or anything. So after an interesting drive from Port-au-Prince, the capital city, to Kafue, which is a suburb of Port-au-Prince, that's where our base was. And this is kind of the slang for Kafue. And this is our base, the house that Hearts United with Haiti owns, and we were on the second floor. And this is the view from that porch there, that enclosed porch. This is the view. And you might notice kind of a theme for me is that we're not in America anymore, and we're not in a place where I understand everything. We're not in a place where I'm in control, and this is one of the most significant experiences for me. We were living right where our ministry was happening. So we weren't in some base that was safe and secluded and had air conditioning and electric. No, we were right in the city. No air conditioning, electric a couple hours a day if we're lucky, living with people, living with Haitians that we were going to do ministry with. And so that was really powerful for me. And so we were obviously exhausted from travel, but pretty happy to be there too. Pretty excited about what God was going to do. And this is the picture from the roof of our base. And you'll see later, this is also the place where we slept. It was the coolest spot in the house to sleep. And we only got rained on once, which was good. But that was our view from our roof, kind of a look into the countryside as well. And like I said, in between telling you the story of what happened, I want to give you a taste of what God did in the lives of the team members. So, Zach, I'll let you speak first.
Hey, he was pretty sick. I enjoyed it. One of the most powerful experiences that I saw there was probably the joy in all the Haitians. There was never like a dull moment with them. They were never spewing hate at each other. I don't know what it is though. They're just always happy. And that's kind of life changing to me, because I came back home. And, you know, it's not like Haiti's not blessed. We're both blessed. But whenever we get, I guess, a dull moment or something bad happens, it drags us on. In Haiti, they just kind of look at it, laugh, and they're over it. And it's kind of something that's like, why can't we be like that? That's just kind of something that changed me from Haiti.
Sweet. Thanks, Zach. And so these were translators that we worked with. In Haiti, they speak Creole or French, and so obviously that put a huge language barrier in between us. And these guys were really the key to facilitating ministry. They were Haitians who worked with us and enabled us to do ministry and to communicate, and they were just awesome, strong Christians who just loved the Lord. Almost in every circumstance when we'd have a ministry opportunity, they'd help us speak, but then they would work hard to even go further than we thought possible. In one instance, James, the guy in the green in the middle, we were talking with some Haitians on a street corner in Kafue. He got their phone numbers, and so he was going to follow up with them later and really share Jesus on an extended basis when we were just thought we were just having conversations with them. So Saturday night, what we did is we took a small drive and then hiked up to this mountaintop, which kind of overlooked the city of Kafue. This is a church that during the earthquake, the walls had tumbled, but the structure was still intact. So it's just this really cool spot to pray, to think about what God had in store for this week. And this is Ryland just doing that very same thing. And then what was cool, too, is as we were doing that, as we were praying, as we were doing some time of worship, Haitians kind of heard and kind of gathered around us, and we ended up talking with them, too. So again, I was just kind of expecting to mentally prepare, but we start doing ministry. We started talking with people and building relationships with people. And then it was time Saturday to go to bed. We were beat, and this is kind of how we camped out for the week, all on the roof. And like I said, it only rained on us once where we had to run inside. But certainly the coolest spot, but also the loudest spot too. Because right on the street, you know, right, the house is right off the street, people would stay up late and have loud conversations. And then other people would wake up early and be loud as they went to work, so there was never a quiet moment, and roosters always crowing all of the time. And dogs, yeah. You want to go around? Sweet.
Most powerful experience for me would have to be just the people. Because when you hear stories about Haiti, it's all kind of hopeless and sad and pathetic. And then you go there and you look at the streets, you look at the buildings, and you look at their cars and everything that they have. And it all looks really sad and pathetic and horrible. But then you start to get to know the people, and you realize that it's the complete opposite. And it's a very beautiful country because they don't have really anything compared to our standards, yet they have more than most Americans do compared to what really matters. And it's surprising and it's refreshing. And it's just something that I wish I could see more of. Really get to.
Thanks, Rylan. And in the first service, Rylan also talked about the opportunity for things to go wrong. It seemed like over the course of the whole week, there were so many chances for things not to work out the right way. And I'm kind of reminded of that here in this picture. This is the church we went to on Sunday morning. It's a guy named Pastor Robbie. And this was also the church that we worked at to do ministry at for most of the week. And here we are, we're up front in front of the church singing one of the Vacation Bible School songs, you know, kind of getting the church pumped and ready for what VBS is. And before the song ended, the tape shut off or the music stopped playing. And so we were in the middle of dancing and we just had to kind of finish it out, and we finished the song on our own. But it was awesome. No one cared at the church, and they were pumped up for Vacation Bible School to start. So that's what we did Sunday morning. And this was Sunday evening. What we did is we walked to about two blocks away from our base, and we had practiced a skit, and we did this little skit, and then that kind of drew some Haitians, and we just started talking to them, building relationships in the community where the base was. And we also had this, it's called an evangel ball, which is basically a way that it's a soccer ball, but you can tell the gospel message through the colors on the soccer ball. And this was cool. One of the Haitians got so excited. He's like, tell me how to talk about this. You know, tell me what this is about. I love Jesus, and I want to be able to explain this. And so we taught him how to use the evangel ball, and then he just kind of ran with it. And Crystal and I talked, and it sounds like he's still using the evangel ball on that same street corner right in Kafu. And then it was time. Monday morning was when we really started to get into our routine of ministry. And basically what that looked like is the girls went to an orphanage and spent the morning loving on the girls at the orphanage, while the guys did some construction at Pastor Robbie's church. And then in the afternoon, we all came back to Pastor Robbie's church to do some Vacation Bible School. So I'll let Lauren speak about this.
So 3 out of the 7 days we were there, we went to the girls' orphanage, and the one day the guys came. But the most powerful experience was being at the orphanage with the girls, because they all wanted to be loved. They loved to be hugged, touched, play with, and it was so cool because even though we couldn't actually like understand them, even though we had translators, they didn't, like, we didn't need to talk to actually be with them, and it was really cool. And the most life-changing thing was we couldn't bring electronics there, and when we got home, it was like the strangest thing, because it's like nobody really needed to use them anymore. They were so used to not. And showers were different. I didn't have to shower out of a bucket anymore. And I think I walked around the house for the rest of the night saying, oh my gosh, guys, guess what? I can shower. And it was really exciting for that.
Thanks, Lauren. Yeah, and I love that Lauren said her cell phone wasn't that important anymore when she got back, because usually on almost every youth group activity that we do, I take their cell phones away just so they can focus on the activity. And Lauren's the girl that has to kiss her phone goodbye before she gives it to me. You know, so it sounds kind of simple, like, oh, we don't need our cell phones as much, but it's huge. That's a huge deal in shifting focus. So the girls spent 3 mornings at the orphanage, and you know, really it was about, like Lauren said, just loving on these girls, building relationships with them. They were just hungry for attention. And you know, we did some simple games with them, let them steal our phones. They love taking pictures with our cameras and playing more games. And here's just a simple craft that the girls did with them. Here we go next. Or should I keep going?
Okay, so I guess I could say that the most powerful experience for me was, I mean, if you know me at all, I have expectations, and I have, you know, like, I like to have an overall view of where I'm going and what I'm doing, and, you know, Crystal told us not to have that, to go to Haiti, but I did anyway. And I had expectations, and I was really nervous and, you know, scared that the Haitians wouldn't open up to us. And if you know me even more, I love kids, and my heart, I just love being with kids. And so I was really nervous that, you know, the kids would be like, I don't want to play with you, you know, you don't speak my language. And I guess what was powerful was that the kids wanted to be loved, they wanted to be touched and held, and it was so great to know that, like, you didn't need a translator to be able to relate to them and just, you know, make them know that, you know, you're there to play and just have fun. So I guess what I took home from that and what changed my life is Pastor Robbie had said to us, you are planting seeds in the hearts of these children. Out of this next generation, a great tree will bloom and bear fruit, and people from all nations will come and receive that fruit that is being planted now. And he said that because, you know, he felt that we, you know, definitely brought a sprout in these kids. And I felt like when I went home, I felt like they put something in me, and I got something out of them in return. And it was just really cool to know that, you know, part of us is in Haiti, and part of them is coming home with us.
And so while the girls were just loving on the girls at the orphanage, the guys were doing some hard labor at Pastor Robbie's church. If you remember that original shot of the church, the first one I showed you with us singing up front, this is almost the same angle, just with the whole front of the church being torn down. So basically a third of the church, we dismantled it to build a bigger structure. And this is about as far as we got with the project, almost ready to put metal roofing on the top. Now, we did work hard, but really it was the Haitians that we were helping who really did a lot of the work. We worked for a couple hours in the morning. The Haitians would get there before us, and then they would take a break while we were doing VBS, and then they would work throughout the afternoon, the evening, and into the night. But that was all right. You know, it wasn't about us accomplishing building a church. It was about us partnering and equipping and building relationships with the local Haitians there, because that's where real healing comes from, when Haitians get motivated to do the work themselves. You know, we didn't go down there as saviors. I think a lot of us thought we were going to, you know, we're Americans, we're saving everybody, but yeah, that wasn't the heart that we did things with, and this was just an example of that. So we worked hard, no breaks at all, no standing around. Yeah, and this is kind of what the church site looked like as we got ready to start VBS. It's really a construction site, and man, talk about opportunities for things to go wrong. How are we gonna do a VBS at a construction site with big holes where we're gonna put pole, and what? How are we gonna do this? And VBS started Monday afternoon, and this is a little hard to see, but the whole church is just packed with kids. The first day, Monday, we probably had about a little over 100 kids. The third day, Wednesday, there's at least 250 kids there. You know, by Wednesday, the third day, we said things started at 1:30. By noon, kids were starting to show up, and we're just waiting there. That was really, really cool. In part, this is Pastor Robbie. It's a little hard to see him, but he has such an awesome heart for Jesus. And I didn't know this, but there had never been a vacation Bible school program at Pastor Robbie's church. This was the first time VBS was ever done there. In fact, this was the first time VBS was ever done anywhere around this area. And so Crystal was explaining to Pastor Robbie before we came, like, hey, this group wants to come down and teach a Bible school to your children. And Pastor Robbie said, you want to teach the Bible to my adults, right? Like, no. But he didn't get it. You know, we want to teach the Bible to your kids. He's like, I don't get it, but let's do it. I like the idea. And so his openness, his willingness for us to do something that didn't make sense to him was really powerful. I'll let Annette speak to that.
So, the first, I guess, Monday after the first day of VBS, we sat down after VBS was over with Pastor Robbie and the church leaders. And one of the first things Pastor Robbie said was, I don't know what to say. He said, I laughed, I cried, the washing of the children's feet. And at that point, he took his sunglasses off, and he started to openly weep. And he said, I am so blessed. He didn't say, I feel like I'm blessed. He said, I am so blessed. And for us, for me to know that God gave him that blessing, and we were his instruments to do that through something so simple that we do every year, all of us do every single year, like a VBS, was absolutely amazing. When I was in Haiti, I saw God working every day. And I think because I was looking for God to work every day, and sometimes here we get busy and I don't always remember to look for the little things that God does every single day in our lives. So what I want to try, I try now every day to look for something, even if it's something very small that God has done, maybe not necessarily in my life, but in someone's life who is near to me. I would also like to take the opportunity to thank the entire congregation for the luncheons, the fundraising, the just outright monetary donations, the prayers, the notes that you sent. Without this congregation, this trip would not have been possible. And I think I speak for everybody when I tell you how much of a blessing all of you were to us by sending us on this trip. Thank you.
Amen. I totally agree. Thanks, Annette. So we did 3 days of vacation Bible school, and the kids were just pumped up. And again, our heart was, you know, to do this VBS, but really to love on these kids too. And we did 4 stations. We did a craft station, which here's them doing crafts. And we did a game station, and we did a snack station, and a Bible story station. You know, the same as how we do here. And just to give you kind of a perspective of the response for kids, I think here this year we had almost 40 kids at our VBS here at Bridgeville. Down there, by Wednesday, we had 60 kids per group. So we had more kids in one group than, you know, we had the whole time here. And that was awesome, exciting, but it was also a construction zone with holes, and it wasn't very big, and as a lot of kids, and there wasn't much staff, and we didn't have enough supplies to cover up. So it was wild. Here, we found some pieces of plywood, and we set those on chairs because the tables we had for the crafts, we didn't have enough space. Here's an example of the crafts. They made one day, they traced their hand, and then there's a Bible verse in Creole on this, and this is hanging up in Pastor Robbie's church. And this is the snack station, and what was cool about this is the ladies from Pastor Robbie's church ran the snacks. So we were planning on doing some simple stuff, like animal crackers, you know, something easy. But then after we sang that song on Sunday morning, the ladies from Pastor Robbie's church got so fired up. They're like, we want to come. We want to make the snack. We want to be part of this. And I think they like hand-squeezed juice every day, and they ran the snack station. And that was cool. More than just, oh, I'm glad they're helping out. but because they caught the vision of ministry to children. They were excited about having children come to their church. They were excited about loving on kids, which culturally that's not something that's normal. And then we had a game station run by Zach Weaver and Aubrey, and they did an awesome job. Even though it was fiercely hot, they were out in the sun playing games. This is the lesson. We had different teens teach the Bible lesson. This is Zach Christie and Zach Kipschman teaching it. And then here's, I think this was Monday, we did foot washing as part of the lesson. And man, the response to this was more than I could have ever imagined. Because culturally in Haiti, we didn't learn this till after we did the foot washing, but culturally in Haiti, dirt and dust is just gross. Because their thought process is, there's trash everywhere. And when it rains, the mud mixes with that trash. And then when that mud dries, the dust is just filthy. Right? It makes sense. And so for them, they never sit on the ground. They try to avoid dust at all costs. So to have Americans wash the dust off their feet was incredibly powerful for them. And that was supposed to be just a side note to the lesson. That turned out to be the key part of the lesson of just blessing them by serving them. And here's Rylan using another evangelball to explain the gospel on a different day. And again, like I said, a lot of our time at VBS, you know, we want to run the program, right? We need to run the program, but investing in the lives of the children was more important. And so I'll let Emily speak to this picture.
As most of you know, I love children. I love playing with them. And on Monday, I was drawn to this little boy. I have to admit, it was mostly because he had a Beatles shirt on. But he just wanted to be held and hugged, and he fell asleep in my arms. And the next day, we made eye contact. He was sitting with his older siblings, and he just had the hugest smile on his face when he saw me, and he just came running over to me and into my arms. And so I held him again the whole day, and he fell asleep in my arms again. And on Wednesday, he came running back to me again, and I held him. And he must have talked about me, I guess, at home, because his older siblings and his mom came back and made sure I got it. But they gave me this picture of him when he was younger, and they made sure that I took it home with me. And Crystal had mentioned to me that his mom might ask me to take him home with me to give him a better life, and that just broke my heart that they would do that, because I mean, he's her son, and why would she want to give him up? But at the same time, I kind of really wanted to take him home with me. But, I mean, I know a part of him is home with me, and I'm pretty sure a part of me is back there with him. So.
Thanks, Emily. Yeah. And that's part of the cool part of this week, and it's almost hard to define. You're like, what'd you do in Haiti? Well, we did a VBS, and we helped build the church. This is more important. How do you quantify that? I don't know. But that's why I love partnering with Crystal, the organization is there on an ongoing basis, building relationships, equipping and empowering Haitians. And we got to be part of that by speaking into the life of this boy, by partnering with a pastor who now is going to start a children's ministry program at his church. And before the summer, he'd never even thought of children's ministry. That is cool stuff. And so again, along with those four stations, it was a lot of praise and worship. All of the songs we sang, our VBS songs, were in English. They spoke Creole or French, but, man, they learned the motions and the words quickly. And they loved it, high energy. I mean, 250 kids yelling those VBS songs was pretty powerful. And then, you know, also intentionally focusing them and pointing them closer to Christ was exciting for me. And then Wednesday night, after the last day of VBS, we invited the kids back, and as well as their parents, to come back for a church service where we showed a movie and then shared some testimonies from the group. You remember that some of the Haiti team was here and shared their testimonies? This was kind of the end result of that. They practiced here and then got to speak down there. So I'll let Miranda talk to that.
Okay. After I shared my testimony at Trinity, I was kind of like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to have to do that again. I was terrified. I don't really like talking in front of people, especially about myself. So I was totally unprepared. I was like, okay, someone's going to have to do it, but it's not going to be me. And then Wednesday, before we went to VBS, we like prayed about it and then drew names out of a hat, and mine was the first one pulled, and I was like, oh no. So I like wrote my testimony down. Took me a couple hours, and I like mentally prepared myself, and I was freaking out. I didn't know what I was gonna do. And then we got there after the movie. I was kind of not focused on that the whole time because I was just thinking about after the movie. And Zach went first. Zach Hipschman shared his testimony, or Lauren went first, and then it was Zach, and then me, and I was last, and that made it worse. But I was really surprised about how much they paid attention to us, because I kind of thought they'd be like moving around in their chairs and like wanting to get out of there because it got really late. And it was really powerful for us to share our testimonies because they saw that we weren't just these mighty Americans who had come to save them, that we could relate and we had problems too. And it was just a really great experience for all of us, I think, to share that with them and relate. And I took that away with, now I know that I have a purpose, even if I don't see it right away, because most of the week, like the beginning of the week, I kind of felt like I was just tagging along and everyone was building all these relationships and I was kind of just there. But then after sharing my testimony, I felt like empowered and I knew I was there for a reason. And now when I think I don't have a purpose, I know that one's coming, even if I don't see it yet, so.
Thanks, Miranda. And then Thursday morning, the whole group, the girls and the guys, went back to the orphanage that the girls had been working at. And I love this picture. Some of the girls at the orphanage cornered Rylan and forced him to dance. So that was great. And then I kind of zoomed past a picture of Annette getting her hair braided. I think Monday, when the girls came back from the orphanage, Annette's hair was just braided in all kinds of crazy braids. And she left it like that all day, proud of what those girls had done. And then when the guys went, they found out how much the girls like to braid hair. So here's Zach. Here's Zach Weaver. And here's Zach Hipschman with his hair braided. One of the other guys on our team, he's not here this morning, but he has a crew cut, and the girls even tried to braid that, and they almost got it. And again, that Thursday morning was just spent with loving on those girls and playing games with them. And then Thursday afternoon, after we had spent time at the orphanage, we went back to Pastor Robbie's church, and we met with Pastor Robbie and the leaders from his church and kind of did an informal seminar on what children's ministry looks like and how to do children's ministry. Because, again, this was totally brand new to him, this idea of ministering to children. You know, children are supposed to sit and be quiet, but he wanted to know how to minister to them. And it was so cool to see the light bulbs going off on his head, because as stuff as simple as, when you do a vacation Bible school, the game you do should reinforce the Bible lesson, or the craft you do should help show what the Bible story was about. And to him, that was like brand new stuff. And he was like, this is awesome, and we're going to do this. And that was so powerful. Something that seems so routine here was so powerful there. I'll let you share a little bit too.
I know Annette had said we wanted to thank you, and I just want to echo that. We felt prayed for, covered in prayer, and a lot of things happen that wouldn't have been possible without your support and also your prayer. So we felt that, and you have a great group of teens as well, from teens from Trinity. They did a great job. We just served very well together. There was not a lot of problems. Everyone was just the hands and feet. You know, we worked well together, and what one thought to do, the other may not have, but they did something else well. So anyway, I'm Allison, and for those of you who don't know, I'm a teacher. And so before going to Haiti, I had best laid plans, a supply list, when we would do things. I had 75 bags for one VBS we might do, and we were told we might even have it at a second location, so 75 more bags and scratch art. And after that first day, we did the scratch art and had barely enough supplies. And then it was like, there will be more children tomorrow. So all those plans, those great ideas, just out the window when we came back to the drawing board to think of, what are we doing tomorrow? And I really learned, and the most powerful experience was, you know, that the Lord had a plan. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it would be amazing because it was his plan. And sometimes just a step out of the way, I don't have to always be so organized. You know, the Lord's got it. So my life-changing experience was, you saw a picture of our translators. They were really inspiring. And as well as Crystal. They came to work, you know, or their ministry, excited every day, ready to do God's work, and just enthused. And I realize now that I'm back, my mission field is my classroom and my family, and I want to bring that same enthusiasm to what the Lord's called me to do. So I hope to show up tomorrow morning as enthused as they were about their job. Thank you.
Thanks, Allie. Yeah, and I don't think it's any mistake that when you heard Zach talk about the vision for the youth group here, I think a lot of that was modeled when we were in Haiti and how things went and how God moved. So the effects of our 1 week in Haiti, the effects are long-lasting. And then Friday, we spent the day just kind of decompressing at the beach. And it's cool. We didn't just go to the beach and have fun, but we also went with some leaders from Pastor Robbie's church. So it was, again, another time of building relationships and encouraging them and equipping them. And that was a great time of being together. And then Saturday was filled with cleaning up and coming home. So that was kind of the experience of our week in Haiti, and it was a powerful one. I hope you get that picture that it was powerful. And team, you can kind of come up. We'll get ready to sing in a second. So we can just line up here. And man, I echo what Annette and Allie said. Absolutely, thank you so much for being so supportive and sending us. Awesome. I mean, again, without your support, without your love, without your encouragement, financial support, personal support, it wouldn't be possible. So I feel like you had just as big a role in this short-term mission to Haiti that these guys did. I feel like we all should be wearing green shirts because it was a community. It was a body affair. And, you know, for me as youth director, man, it pumps me up that our church would send teenagers to another country, send young adults to another country, to unleash them and to build them and to get them fired up for Jesus. Because I see a fire in all these folks that, man, just Haiti increased that 1,000-fold. And that gets me excited. And talk about the most life-changing part. For me, it was spending a week out of my comfort zone. That was the most life-changing. And this singing is an example of that. I want to sing just the chorus of a song. It's the song Our God. I want to sing the chorus. We'll just sing an acapella. We also learned the chorus in Creole, too. And Sunday night, when we were on that street corner with the evangel ball, talking, there was this big truck with enormous speakers that just came blaring through, like blasting nightclub music. It was actually a nightclub truck advertising that a nightclub was going to start later that night. And it just came blaring through. I was like, what? I had my guitar there. Yeah, what's going on? Then it circled back around and stopped. Crystal went up and talked, and they had a microphone in the cab, and they said, do you want to come play something? So I played, and we sang this worship song through the speakers of this nightclub truck in Haiti. How does that happen? That was 85 miles outside of my comfort zone, but God is good, and it was cool. So So in that same vein, singing a cappella is probably out of your comfort zone too. So if you want to join in with us, that'd be great. I have It's Our God, and here's the chorus, and then this is the chorus in Creole. So we'll sing it regular, and then we'll sing it in Creole, and I would love if you could start to join in with us too. Yeah, and Jacob, if you want to hold up the sign. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Bonje nuan gran, bonje nuan fo, bonje nuan piwo passe tu. Bonje con peri, rample en pison, bonje nu, bonje nu. If you want to, try to join in. Bonje nuan gran, bonje nuan fo, bonje nuan piwo passe tu. Bonje con peri, rample en pison, bonje nu, bonje nu. You guys sound good. You guys have a seat.